You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we talk about the rise of political fact-checking and why the journalistic practice is still controversial.
Right now, you may have encountered one as you drive through the country in Wisconsin. A few people call them mazes, but most people, including me, know them as corn mazes.
Angie Trinan joins us now. She's a co-owner of Trinan Farm in Lodi, and she's been designing corn mazes for over a decade. Angie, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be here, guys.
Well, first off, can you tell us a little bit about how your family got into the business of having a corn maze?
Sure. The farm we live on is my husband, Alan Trinan's family farm. So his grandparents had actually purchased the farm in the 20s and then passed it on to my husband's parents, and now then my husband was purchasing the farm from them. It was a traditional crop farm, but my husband was really interested in draft horses, and so he had some draft horses. He planted some pumpkins and started a little fall business taking people out to the pumpkin patch. When we got married, we started to brainstorm about ways that we could expand that fall business, and we had heard of corn mazes. It was kind of a new thing then. There had been one in Wisconsin prior to that. And we said, you know, we're already used to having people come in the fall. We really enjoy it. And so this potentially is something that older kids and adults could enjoy. The hay rides were often really little kids brought out to the pumpkin patch for that experience. So we put it in, and it was absolutely a thing that families could do with their older kids and continue the tradition of coming out to the farm. So that turned out really well.
We'll get a little more into the intricacies of the corn maze and maybe what you've got going this year in a bit. But are you seeing more and more farmers get into this agritourism? There's a word for it even now, different ways to bring people, visitors onto the farm to be part of the business plan?
Oh, yeah. Like you said, agritourism has become a thing. It's actually, there's conferences we go to a lot. You know, many people who grew up on a farm or who had a farm in their family love it. I mean, we all love farms, the idea of farms, especially people who are very attached to them because it's a family thing. But it can be a big struggle because a farm that supported a family, you know, 50 years ago, is you can't support a family on that small a farm. And so short of combining with other farms or becoming a bigger corporation and buying, you know, thousands of acres, one route is to stay on the small farm and find ways to diversify, selling directly to the consumer. And sometimes that's a farm market, sometimes that's like a CSA, and sometimes it's entertainment. And sometimes it's a combination of all of those kinds of things.
Is that enough to cover any gaps that you might have in the budget? If you're looking to have a cash crop, but also to do agritourism, is it enough to maybe help the farm be more solvent, more profitable than it would have been?
Yes. The thing about crop farming and dairy farming is that you are tied to the commodities market. You don't have that much control over your income because you are paid what the market will pay you. So you can grow really great corn and you can increase your yield, but there's really a limit to what you can do if you're selling crops. When you have a business where you are basically a tourist business, you can attract more people by being giving them a great experience. And so it can grow. Its growth is way more under your control than a farm is. However, you can still maintain that farming feel and that farming character, and then you're living on your farm. And that can be the best of both worlds for a small farm business. However, a lot of people think about it and say, oh, you know, I could do that. The trick is that having customers come to your farm is actually a big deal.
I can imagine.
You know, some farmers are not real people. They enjoy that solitary kind of job. And having thousands of people come into, you know, potentially what you feel is your personal space. And also to have to think like a customer, like they won't know about farm hazards. And manure is, you know, maybe the idea is very authentic, but in practice, sometimes it's a little challenging to have to walk through muddy manure. You know, what things do people like? We're fortunate that our farm, many of the buildings are 100 years old or more, and it has that very classic red barn, you know, wooded area, beautiful pond, that what we think of as a classic Wisconsin farm. So it has that appeal, too. It's like, oh, you know, let's go out in the country and see some farms. you know, modern farms sometimes don't look like your classic childhood image of a farm with a red barn. So, but ours does, which is just a fortunate accident. You know?
We hear a lot of talk lately about people feeling or being disconnected from where their food comes from farming. A tiny minority of people now are farmers themselves, where it used to be almost all of us. Do you see when people come, like, you're kind of building at least a little bit of that connection that we've lost?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're not a, like, we don't have dairy cows and that kind of thing, but we do grow crops. There's tractors around. There's chickens we raise, and literally just being outdoors in a cornfield, for one thing. I mean, those are experiences you just can't get randomly by accident. You have to go somewhere like that, and that's part of the appeal too, is to see like how farms are now and how the farming heritage has developed in Wisconsin.
We're talking about corn mazes and agritourism in general right now with Angie Trinan, co-owner of Trinan Farm in Lodi. And Angie, I'm curious what the cutting edge is of agritourism. You said you go to conferences about this and you do a corn maze and a pumpkin patch. What is at the cutting edge for people who are really trying new things?
The conferences are all about that. Like, most of these businesses evolved from family farms like ours, you know, with having the idea of attracting visitors. But a lot of it is, how do you attract more people and how do you maintain the character that you've chosen for your business, which is a tricky balance because, we need to distinguish ourselves from family attractions like water parks, like, you know, amusement parks, but still have those safety and, you know, interesting things to do, but maintain enough of the rural character that it's a farm experience. So there's always all kinds of attractions that we talk about, like, you know, we could add like a jumping pillow, we could add little cow barrel trains, we could add a pumpkin slingshot, you know, which of those, which we have, but, you know, which of those things fit in with each particular business. And some of the farms have gone to more like zip lines and just other outdoor activities. And those are all really great things, but you can't have absolutely everything. That's just too much. So you have to pick and decide what kind of business you're going to have as your niche.
Oh, well, let's get lost in the corn mazes for a bit here. You are a corn maze designer yourself. What goes into making a good corn maze?
Yes, I'm the corn maze designer. I consider myself an artist who works exclusively in the medium of cornfields. I enjoy the corn maze design process pretty much as much as I enjoy anything else about the business, because it's a very creative process. And the idea is, I just think up stuff that I enjoy. Honestly, that's how it starts, is I just go with, hey, you know, Angie, what are you interested in lately? And I have to craft that into something that is visual, but I start with just things I enjoy. And so I spend actually about 40 hours, I would say, designing the corn maze. And some of the parameters are, first of all, it has to be recognizable. I want it to be immediately recognizable when you look at the photo. Not, you don't have to figure it out like, could that be a, you know, elephant? I just want people to know, like, this is it. It needs to be beautiful. It needs to be interesting enough that my staff can talk to customers about it. That's a huge thing. I have a lot of young staff, and I really believe that the visitors we have need to interact in a meaningful way with our staff. And so having an interesting corn maze allows our staff to enter those conversations very easily, because they can be like, hey, do you like unicorns? You know, like, and who doesn't, right?
So is that a hint about this year's corn maze, what it is?
Yeah, that's a pretty big hint.
Do you have any advice for how to navigate a corn maze? I tend to get really lost in them, and then at a certain point I get frustrated and I kind of want to cry, but I can't get out. Well, how do you get out of one? Do you have any insider advice?
Well, every business who has a corn maze has a different way to solve it. Sometimes you have like decision points where you need to answer a question to decide which way to go. In ours, you you get a map. Well, it's part of a map, and you need to complete it by finding essentially the puzzle pieces of the map in various locations. So it's about navigation. My suggestion would be that if you're nervous about that at all, go on a very busy day, because there's tons of people in there and people love to help each other out, and you wouldn't feel lonely and lost and, you know, that kind of thing.
So don't go at midnight on a Sunday.
A lot of people do it in the dark, and that's super fun. Yeah.
Do people often go in as teams? Is that the norm, or do you have a lot of solitary intrepid explorers?
Mainly people go in as teams. It's a really kind of fun, collaborative experience. And we especially enjoy getting people super revved up, like, you know, challenging them. Okay, how fast can you do it? And can, you know, if you work with other teams in there. And we really encourage a lot of that interaction.
Angie, thanks a lot for joining us today in the studio.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
That's Angie Trinan. She's co-owner of Trinan Farm in Lodi.
Coming up after the news, the presidential debates have been fact-checked in real time, and PolitiFact and other outlets are a big part of the political landscape now. We look at the history of fact-checking and why it's still controversial. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.